Entrepreneurship, leadership, and free market capitalism. You are listening to Kill Bigger Radio with Kyle Keegan.
Welcome back to the Kill Bigger Radio Show. We are bringing high-quality, big-thinking business content to Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeart, YouTube, Stitcher, and all of your favorites. We build things that matter, we build things that last, and we kill bigger. I am your host, Kyle Keegan. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed the last episode we did, yesterday's episode on Fortune Magazine. I was extremely, extremely taken aback by their stances and these three authors that they got together to basically bash Milton Friedman and the shareholder doctrine. And I went through that article and I meticulously picked apart each and every paragraph and started talking about how they fundamentally don't understand what capitalism is all about, first and foremost. They talked about how we need a system that watches out for the rights of labor and that watches out for the rights of the customer and considers environmental implications and things like that. And I basically put it all together and made the case that capitalism does consider all of these things. It already does. And without considering those kinds of things, it's not in the best interest of the company. So if we are always acting in our best interest, if we're always acting to improve our human condition, capitalism recognizes that humans won't act without reason. So if they act, they will act to improve their human condition. If capitalism recognizes that, they understand that this is the only true way to have the most efficient means of exchange between one another, between human beings, and that ultimate level of cooperation that produces awesome results long term. So I had this very interesting show. I was excited to share that with everybody. And, you know, I got a little riled up. I've been riled up for 2 days here, and I'm kind of excited for a lighter-hearted show today talking about the Roaring Twenties and how technology has changed over the years. And really, guys, if you look throughout history, if you look at the various things that have changed in the last 100 years, you can blame, or not blame, you know, honestly implies a negativity, but you can attribute the successes of the last 100 years to people like you and I, right? Entrepreneurs, people who are building things that matter, building things that last, and people that want to go out there and kill bigger. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you haven't gone back and you haven't listened to the one before, I would suggest that you do so, because I really did single out that Fortune magazine. I mean, come on, Fortune magazine? You can't name your magazine Fortune magazine and then have, you know, a bunch of communist propaganda disguised as intellectual fact, right? You've got these ultra intellectual people. You've got these people, you know, that are from various colleges and they study economics and all of this stuff. And I don't know what economics they're studying, because I think if you study economics long enough, you end up with Ludwig von Mises and Frederick Bastiat and maybe some Frederick Hayek. You know, I mean, you ultimately follow human behavior down the rabbit hole and end up at Austrian economics if you're actually paying attention. But, you know, when you have like a guy like Paul Krugman that, you know, calls himself an economist and also has a Nobel Prize, you know, I can't help but think that the those that are issuing said Nobel Prizes aren't paying much of attention, and they also haven't followed this back to human behavior like a lot of the Austrian economists have. That said, let's get into today's show. I think it'll be rather short, but I also am just truly inspired by what has happened in the last 100 years as far as the actual markets, right? We're not talking about, you know, government policy changes or anything like that today. We're just talking about purely what they considered technology and what we consider technology. I will start with that. When we think technology, we think cutting edge, right? We think You know, new technology, phones in our pockets immediately come to mind. You've got streaming services now that are replacing old school cable and satellite connections. You've got Tesla cars that are coming out that are they run on electricity, and they're doing a great job of running a lot on electricity for the first time. That isn't something that we've had a great abundant access to in the past. This is all what we consider technology in our world today. But the funny thing is the technology that they had back in the 1920s, and they called it technology, and it's stuff that you and I probably completely take for granted. And we all know that the 1920s were considered the Roaring 20s, right? The Roaring 20s. It was a time of economic boom. It was a time of high prosperity in the world. And let me tell you why that is, right? So all of a sudden, you've got these new affordable ways of transportation, right? The car becomes finally available to more than just the ultra rich for the first time ever. And now people are moving around, going out and spreading out further away from work and things like that. You know, they used to walk to work and they used to, stay close in. Geographically spreading out was always good, economically speaking, for people, because as you get further away from the things that the places people go, like work and, you know, whatever they do, the land would get cheaper and cheaper. So they were able to actually take over. This was kind of the very infancy of sort of the suburbs back then, which was really kind of cool. And they'd have these cars and they could get in and out of the city very easily for work and things like that. But they also got to have a really cheap, inexpensive home build out in a place that was very, very less expensive to build. So now all of a sudden they're saving money on their homes. They're being able to transport goods very, very much easier. So before the automobile, if you wanted to get something that would fit in an automobile, you know, it would take potentially you going to your own local provider of that. Whereas once the car came about, the transportation between cities would enable higher competition. So higher competition drove prices down relative to the amount of work that everybody was doing. And it really just improved the life of everybody at the time. Now, granted, we do know what happens in the late 1920s, right? We end up with the Great Depression, and, you know, it spans into the 30s a bit. And the reason for that, in my opinion, is the creation of the Fed, right? So we all of a sudden had this new federal bank that was printing money and also kind of inflating a bubble immediately. I mean, out of the gate, guys, 1913, Fed was introduced, and out of the gate, they're making a bubble, right? And it was one epic frickin' bubble back then in the 20s. But I just think it was kind of funny that, you know, a lot of people will attribute all sorts of things to the Great Depression, but they forget that the Fed was introduced into our lives in 1913. Okay, it didn't take long for them to inflate a gigantic freaking bubble that took all sorts of socialistic stuff, in their opinion, to climb out of. And, you know, that was kind of funny. But that's not what we're talking about today. Some of these labor-saving appliances were also something that was really interesting back then. So they all of a sudden, instead of hand-washing clothes and stuff like that, they had the first early, you know, washing machines and things like that. They had labor-saving appliances. And some of the top things that they included on this stuff were fans, radios, iron, so ironing boards, so you can iron your clothes, electric kettles. So, you know, this is not too long after electricity is really starting to make its way into all the newer houses. And this was a time where they were building things that ran on electricity. The first ever toaster that pops your toast up out of your toaster was a 1920s thing, and vacuum cleaners. This was all due to electricity. And every single one of these items, guys, was created by an entrepreneur, and they probably got filthy rich off of it. And how cool is that, right? How cool is that? And what are today's toasters? The things 100 years from now People are going to look back and say, you know, how did they not know about toasters back then? Like, how did they not even think about that? Well, until you think about it, it's not there. It doesn't exist. You know, we have these people who believe that everything that can ever be done is already done, right? But there's at every point in history, there are these negative people who think every single invention, every single patent, every single thing that could ever be thought of has been thought of. And I guess that's true to an extent, right? Because everything that can be thought of is thought of. You know, if you get really philosophical about this, you know, everything that ever has been thought of course. Yet there are more things that can be thought of and are being thought of and new advancements, right? I saw the other day, I am really enjoying my Galaxy S20 Ultra phone. And I saw the other day they emailed me and like, hey, Kyle, check out the Galaxy Fold. I'm like, oh, you assholes, right? Check out the Galaxy Fold. And of course I click on it, right? I want to go see this Galaxy Fold. And this thing is spectacular, guys. This is a pocket tablet, basically. It folds in half. It's super thin. It's got a crazy battery. It's got this little screen on the outside for just strict phone duty. And then it's got this big screen on the inside. So that you can do just some pretty decent business stuff on the inside of this tablet, which is just freaking neat. I'm in trouble. It's like a $2,000 phone, and you know, I'm already kind of like eyeing that thing. You guys, if you've stuck around with the show long enough, you know that I'm kind of that guy who gets a new phone every 6 months. So they know who their target audience is, and they know that their emails are going to work on me. So I thought that that was interesting. But that's our technology today, guys. Nobody, you know, 5 years ago even thought of a foldable phone that could just revolutionize the amount of work that you can get done on a phone itself. The other cool thing that I saw that Samsung is doing is allowing you to plug your phone into a monitor and add a keyboard and mouse and have almost like a full desktop experience. It's a little bit buggy. I've played with it with my phone. But that is kind of cool. I mean, imagine the future where your entire computer is in your pocket and you just dock it in places when you go to different works. Like, I mean, how cool is that? You go to the office, you dock your phone, you have your full computer there. You go home, you dock your phone, you've got your full computer there. And when you're carrying it around in your pocket, of course you have everything there with you as well. So you could unfold it and access it like a tablet. Super cool stuff like that. Well, I'm telling you, these guys in the 1920s, they make all this money off of things like toasters and vacuums. Guys, what are our toasters and vacuums today? These things that will just be around for years and years and years. And granted, guys, I know that a lot of us, you know, aren't out to invent, right? We're not inventors, we're business people, which is why I also talk a lot on the show about investment, right? Investment. And who's making the next toaster then? Who's making the next vacuum cleaner? Who's making that long-term play, that thing that's going to take over life as we know it? I mean, is it Zoom? Is it Zoom like the stay-at-home stuff? I don't know. I mean, they're really highly valued right now because, you know, it's the hot ticket items, the stay-at-home stock stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of things to think about in the world. And, you know, it's all being done by entrepreneurs, right? When Thomas Edison wanted to invent the light bulb, okay, and Thomas Edison went about doing this and he tried and tried and tried and he failed over and over and over and over again. He discovered like 500 ways not to build a light bulb or whatever his famous quote was. He was partnered with JP Morgan. He was partnered with a businessman who could actually get the financial side of this thing all figured out for him. He wasn't in his own right some great entrepreneur. As a matter of fact, JP Morgan was kind of the reason why this took off to the extent that it did. And if you watch The Men Who Built America. It's a series on History Channel. It is just a fantastic show. Now, this is pre-1920s. It's a fantastic show, and they literally talk about this AC versus DC wars in New York City and all of this kind of stuff, and who was going to win the race to distribute electricity to the households and how AC power could travel longer distances and things like that. It's absolutely cool. If you haven't watched The Men Who Built America, I mean, it is just one of the most inspiring shows that I have ever seen. And it includes Andrew Carnegie, it includes Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan, includes Cornelius Vanderbilt. I really think Cornelius Vanderbilt is cool. In fact, I really liked Cornelius Vanderbilt's book because it's so far back. It's so far just right after the Civil War. I mean, it is so far back. It is so interesting to hear what life was like back then, right? What it entailed, a day in the life of somebody who lived back then was just crazy. One of the other things that they came out with in the 1920s was antibiotics for the first time, guys. People were dying of bacterial infections in the 1910s, right? How crazy is that? In the 1910s, they had no antibiotics yet. The first antibiotics were 1920s. That's just absolutely insane. So you start to talk about how different life is today. We don't die from bacterial infections today. That's not a thing. If you get a bacterial infection, it's as simple as a quick call to your doctor and you know, they write you a prescription for a antibiotic and you're good in 3 days. You're good in 3 days. And things have just changed. And obviously, without a profit motive, without an entrepreneur that was thinking bigger behind that, somebody who wanted to make a difference and build something that mattered in this world, that wouldn't have come about, right? You say, oh, well, somebody else might have done it. Yeah, but that person was thinking bigger and wanted to put something really cool out into this world then, right? It's always the same thing. You look at the Wright brothers, you know, they had the dream of building a flying machine, you know, and that was just an absolute crazy cool technology that came later, you know, that came even later. And they just had this dream and they built it. They wanted to build something bigger than them. And granted, I know that a lot of us are doing businesses that are, you know, on a smaller scale, right? You want to be a big popular shop on Amazon, or you want to have a great brand of action cameras, or, you know, whatever that might be, you know, you're still putting something out into the world today in a consumer economy where people are more and more concerned with having cool stuff and having fun, right? What's wrong with fun? What's wrong with feeding fun? You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And in today's day and age, you know, a lot of people are concerned with that. You know, you build a cool car, a super cool sports car that people really like and have fun with. And maybe it's not something that, you know, is super necessity to the well-being of the nation, but who cares, right? It is a necessity to the people who decide that they like it better than their money and they enjoy it. And they absolutely enjoy it. So I'm here to tell you today, guys, is just think about how back in the day, I mean, they didn't have traffic lights yet. That was one of the things. The other thing they invented was the lie detector for the first ever. That is like an ancient piece of equipment. How crazy is that? Lie detector was the first ever. And one of the things that I thought was the most interesting, it kind of went hand in hand with the pop-up toaster, was the bread slicer for commercial use. The bread slicer for commercial use. You didn't have sliced bread yet. Right. You know, everybody talks about the best thing since sliced bread. This is where it came from. It came from a commercial bread slicer, and you would buy your loaf in a single piece prior to this. And now you could go to the grocery store and you could buy sliced bread. So you could make yourself sandwiches very easily with sliced bread. And that was just, you know, one of those things, the greatest things in sliced bread. You know, they always said it. It was a bread slicer. Guys, what's the next bread slicer? What is the bread slicer of the 2020s? What is it? You know, I don't know, but start looking for it. Start being believing in business, because business is the reason why the delta between our lifestyle today, which is just off the charts better than even the lifestyle of the ultra rich back then, right? Oh, you know, they had radios for the first time. We have radios in our cars, and we've already decided that radios are kind of a pain in the ass. And we've got podcasts now with digital files, the file size of which was bigger than all of the media. Guys, if you're listening to this radio show now, the file size of this is bigger than an entire cassette tape, bigger than a floppy disk, bigger than potentially a CD, a digital CD. I don't know how big that is, but you know, I think it's about right there. I mean, these aren't small episodes. And it's just kind of crazy the amount of things that have changed in this world over the last 100 years, and even over the last 20 years, the lifetime that I've noticed things changing, right? You know, what is the next big thing? What are they? Invest in those, right? Invest in the next coolest things and try to predict them before everybody else does and bakes that shit in, you know? And then beyond that, try to create the future. That's what we're kind of trying to do here, guys, is create the future. And if the future is just a, and I don't want to say just a, if the future is a, for you, a cool sports car that's super fast, or, you know, if the future for you is something that is geared towards fun, it still has a consumer basis. So what the hell's the problem, right? If somebody likes their money better than they, or they like your item better than they like their money, what the hell? That's not a problem, right? Sell it to them. That's awesome. That's creating the future too. That's building stuff that matters. That's building a legacy of cool stuff, right? Some of the coolest things in the world in the past were things that were a short run that you know, applied to a select few people, and now they're collectible items today, you know, things of that nature. So whatever it may be, look into building the future. Look at some of the world around you and how it could change for the better. I guarantee you, like, you think that the bread slicer thing is just so such a no-brainer. Well, there's more of that stuff out there. I'm telling you that it's not over. Everything that has ever been thought up hasn't already been thought up yet. We're going to continue to move forward as a country, as a society. The AI stuff is going to improve our lives. It absolutely will. I did a show about how AI is going to be, not only is it not going to hurt our job prospects and our economic situation, it is absolutely going to amp it up like crazy, and human productivity is going to be off the charts. And never before will there be less work required to have a very comfortable, awesome lifestyle. So it'll be the next upgrade in human productivity. It'll be the next upgrade in human standard of living. And it is what I believe is part of the future. So look through life with that lens. When you see business, when you see prosperity, when you see industry coming about, that's a beautiful thing. That's an absolutely beautiful thing. So enjoy it when you see it, learn from it, and enjoy. Guys, I hope you enjoyed it for the day. That's going to do it for the day. This is Kyle Keegan signing off. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcasting app. Follow us on Twitter. Give us your 5-star reviews. And also tell your friends. Send in your voicemail questions to be featured on the show. Check out killbigger.com, where you can find a podcasting app. If you don't have a favorite yet, find books we have mentioned on this show and stay informed with our mailing list and Kill Bigger blog. Thank you for supporting the show and being a part of the movement up the charts. Join the discussion at thefastlaneforum.com. God bless you guys. People like you are the future. There's always a reason I'm saying this. I believe it. Have a fantastic rest of your day, and we'll be back with you tomorrow. Until next time, everybody keep killing bigger.